All right, you guys, we've come to the end of our chapter 3 in 2 Peter of our Iron Man study going through the Bible here. And I'm excited about this. This was a great series. It was great for me. I hope it was good for you, those of you guys who have been watching. We've had great discussion in our groups here on Tuesday night or Wednesday mornings. We're about to go on a break for a couple of weeks on spring break. So we probably won't have another recording coming out for a few weeks' time. But this is just a great opportunity for you to go back and, of course, watch all the reruns, you know, and just watch them over and over because they're so super entertaining. You don't want to, you don't want to forget anything during the break. But as we look at chapter 3, it's called the Day of the Lord. And when you hear the Day of the Lord, okay, you know it's Jesus's return. Okay, it's judgment time. It's exciting for some. It's super scary for others. Even Christians are mixed on this. I asked the other night, do you want to be alive when Jesus returns, when the day of the Lord comes? Do you want to be called up to heaven? And it was mixed. It was about half and half. It is scary. It's awesome. It's scary. Personally, I'd like to see it. I want to be there. I want to stand in the middle of the field and a big open field and see what all is happening in the sky and in the heavens. But it is a little bit scary when we think about that. But I want to get back into this. And Peter talks about the reason for writing this book is he wants to stimulate us. He says, I'm going to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Okay. Why? You know, why do we want to get back on the wholesome thinking thing and away from false teachers and all that? And he says, because the day of the Lord is coming. And that's what this is all about. He says, you must understand there's going to be scoffers that will say, they're going to be following their own desires. They're going to say, when is he coming? He's promised to come for 2,000 years. He's not coming. And that's where I want to look straight down into verse 8 here. It says, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Okay, I'm not making that up. It says it right here. Okay, why is the Lord so slow in coming back? Because he does not want anyone to perish. Okay, why was the Lord so slow in destroying the earth when Noah was around? He didn't want anybody to perish. Okay, same with Sodom and Gomorrah. They probably deserved to be destroyed 100 years before they were destroyed. Okay, God was hoping that something would change. So let's take a look at what the day of judgment looks like, or the day of the Lord looks like. Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare, will be exposed, will be destroyed. Now, how can God come like a thief and there's going to be all this roar in the sky, you know? Well, the thief example is how quickly, how unexpectedly he's going to come. Okay, we don't know. Now, we do know that the stage is being set. We do know there's wars, there's rumors of war, there's famines, there's droughts, there's, you know, unbelievable sinful things going on in the world. All of this has been predicted, right? So we know the stage is set. So it's not going to be a complete shock. It's almost like living in a community where there's a lot of crime. You know, sooner or later, you may get robbed, right? Your house may or probably will get broken into at some point, but we don't know when. We don't know when the thief is going to come. So I lived in Africa for 12 years. I lived in South Africa for 9 of those years between Malawi and South Africa. There's a lot of crime, and there's a lot of crime in America too, for that matter. But we had bars on our windows. We had gates across our hallway. We went to a lot of trouble. We had an alarm. We had ADT. We were slaves to the blue light, we called it. Whenever we'd leave, we'd hit the button, make sure the house was armed and ready to catch people. But it still didn't stop. What happened? We were gone. I was gone. I was coaching at a basketball camp about 5 miles away. My wife was at at her mother's house, not far down the road. And we got the call everyone dreads from ADT. There's been a break in at your house. So she rushed over. I rushed over there. They waited for me to get there. We went in together just to make sure the coast was clear. ADT was there with their guns out and everything. And we walked in. And the thieves had stolen a lot of stuff. They had stolen our stereo. They had stolen my wallet, things that they could get into a bag. It was obviously kids that were on foot. They climbed through a window that they had broken into. But one of the worst parts about that was, you feel violated. And it's so unexpected, and you do everything you can to prepare for it. But the part of it that just stinks is like, you just didn't know it was gonna happen. Like, everything was great when I left. I came back and now all this happened. And we walked into the house, and this was the worst part of all, especially for my wife, is you could smell the people that had been there. You could smell the stench, the stink, okay? They took off. Well, we eventually caught them with the help of the police as they were trying to sell our goods, you know, downtown in the city we lived in. We got everything back except my wallet, which I eventually got back about 6 months later. I found it laying in the woods back behind our house one day, which is another miracle story I'll have to tell another time. But when Peter describes here that Jesus is going to come like a thief, okay, it's going to be totally unexpected. Okay, we're not going to know when it comes, but when it comes, then with that, everything's going to be laid bare. Everything's going to be destroyed by fire. It's going to be crazy to be alive during that time. So what is, let's just go back and review for a second. What are the signs of the day of the Lord? Let's take a look at this on the screen. Okay, he's going to come like a thief, unexpected, unknown, without warning. The heavens are going to disappear with a roar. The heavens, maybe not heaven, but the skies. Okay. Elements will be destroyed. Everything's going to be laid bare. Okay, so since we know this is coming, the stage is set. We just don't know when. Okay, how are we supposed to live? Well, you look in verse 11, it says, you ought to be living holy and godly lives. It even says so. What kind of people should we be while we're waiting? We should be the kind of people that are living holy and godly lives. Now, it says, as you look forward, verse 12, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Okay, that's the second part of that verse. How do we speed God's coming? Well, there's been people waiting for God to return forever. Okay, ever since Jesus ascended into heaven and said, you know, he's coming back one day, we've all been, you know, figuratively looking towards the heavens and waiting for God to come back. Well, how do we speed that up? Well, think about it. If Jesus doesn't want to come back until everyone has had an opportunity to hear from him, he says he's being patient because he doesn't want people to perish. Therefore, what is our job? And I always try to keep things as practical as I can as I do this teaching. What is our job? Our job is to help prepare for that so that when people, when Jesus does come back, more and more people that have been witnessed to by us, you know, within our circle, within our influence and the things that we do and the lifestyle that we lead. Okay, have we done our job sharing Jesus with people? And if we have, we've done our job in helping prepare that and helping speed up the process. Verse 13 says, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. It's going to be no heaven. There's going to be no sin. There's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. When we think of heaven, we always think of floating around in the sky, playing the harp, maybe, I don't know, bouncing from cloud to cloud. That's kind of how I think of it. I don't know why I think of it like that, but I think a lot of us do. But it says there's going to be a new earth. Okay. Why is he going to create a new earth if we're not going to be on that earth to experience it and to enjoy it? And it does talk about that. We're going to have 1,000 years on there. Okay. And I had a guy come up to me the other night and say, really? That's what the Bible says. Well, yeah, it does say that, you know, and look it up and read about that. And it says, dear friends, verse 14, since we're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Spotless and blameless, we can try our hardest. And, you know, that's easy for some, not as easy for others, but we all have the forgiveness of Christ and we get that part of it. But how do we live at peace with God? If I know that God's coming back and I want to be at peace with him, well, first of all, I do want to be at peace with him because he's God and judgment's coming. I want to make sure that I'm good. I want to make sure that God and I are on the same page on that. So how do I get at peace with God? Well, it's through spending time with God. It's through trying to live a holy life. It's through repenting of my sin. And a guy the other night, you know, used a kind of a fancy theological term, says that we need to live a sanctified life. In other words, We're continually trying to get better. We're continually trying to grow in our faith. You know, are you saved? Are you not saved? I don't know. Is there fruit in your life? Are you showing that? Here it says here in verse 17, I'm not exactly sure that this is what it means, but we'll leave that up for interpretation. It says, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall away from your secure position. Okay, what is your secure position? Does that mean salvation? Does that mean your secure position and being blessed by God? You know, I'm not sure, but if I'm not sure, I want to make sure that I do know that. Am I secure in my position with God? Am I living the kind of life that God wants me to live? Is there fruit in my life? Okay, we don't know when God's going to come back. And for the people that are sitting out there, probably not any of you, that are predicting the day that Christ returns, just stop it. Because if you pick a date, he's not coming on that date, right? If you make this big, bold prediction, I've seen so many predictions through my lifetime, the different cults and things, this is the end of the world on this day, you know, it hasn't happened. It's not going to happen. Only Jesus knows the date that that's going to happen. But I do know that we need to be ready. So let's just take a look at this last slide here. We're going to finish with this. What should we do to prepare for this great day? And they describe this awesome and terrible day, or, you know, this incredible day that's going to be awful and awesome at the same time. We're to live holy and godly lives. We're to share our faith with others to help speed up its coming. We're to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. We're to be on guard not to follow sinners and fall from our secure position. And we are to grow in our knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, how do we grow in our knowledge of Him? Easy. We spend time talking to Him, reading our Bibles, listening to sermons, listening to podcasts, spending time around other Christians, encouraging each other. All those things that it takes to be a follower of Christ in a very good way, right? A lot of us are kind of neutral, kind of lukewarm in how we follow Christ. Yeah, we call ourselves Christians, but we don't really do much with it. Okay, he's telling us to up our game. Okay, you need to ramp things up because you don't know when God's coming, all right? And when He does come, you want to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace. Guys, I hope this was good. Hope this was a good series for you. And look forward to our next series. So join us then when we're back together.